And good morning. Welcome from the Ron Scott Communications Center. We are live from the stand. We are very honored to be joined by one of the original Tuskegee Airmen, Lieutenant Colonel James Harvey. Welcome to the show. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you.
So, how has Oshkosh been so far?
So far, so good.
How long have you been here?
I've been here over the years, quite a few years, but... It's the latest trip. I've been here since Sunday.
Okay, good. I was going to be worried if you said that today was your first day. So you're here as one of the Tuskegee Airmen. You're here with the Red Tail Squadron from CAF. You're doing lots of interviews. They're keeping you kind of busy, aren't they?
Yes, I stay busy, which is good.
And why is that good?
Stay out of trouble.
That's right. Well, let's talk a little bit about your life. You grew up in Pennsylvania.
Right.
And when did you get interested in aviation? When did flying kind
it's
of
an
come
interesting
into your purview?
Story. I was in my front yard, and I heard this noise. I lived out in the country town, and I heard this noise, and I looked up, and it was a flight of B-40s flying in formation. And I said, I'd like to do that one day, and that was it.
Oh, okay. Not quite a P-40, but a T-28, close enough. So how did you enlisted in the to be in the Army Air Corps, but they were originally going to have you be an engineer, correct?
No. This airplane over here, I can't hear.
Yeah, originally you were going to be an engineer, not a pilot, right?
Well, that wasn't my choice.
Right. It's the Army way.
Right. Now, when I finished basic training in Jefferson Barracks, Missouri, they put me in the Army Air Corps engineers, driving bulldozers, graders, carryalls. Yeah. My mission was to go into the jungles of the Pacific, doze out an area, and build an airfield. And we used to go out and practice every day in a little town called Accotink, Virginia.
Okay.
Not too far from Fort Belvoir. And every day this dust and just a big mess. And I said, no, this isn't for me. So I applied for cadet training. There were 10 of us that went to Bowling Field to take this exam, 9 whites and myself. We took the exam. We finished. 2 of us had passed.
Okay. And you were one.
I was one, right.
And then from there, what happened?
Okay, from there I was sent to Biloxi, Mississippi, to Keesler Field.
Okay.
For 30 more days of basic training. Then when I finished my basic training, they sent me to Tuskegee, Alabama. The rest is history.
Which aircraft did you fly in your primary and basic training?
In primary, I flew the PT-19 Fairchild.
Okay. Yeah.
More like a fighter aircraft. Yeah. It was good. Good aircraft.
Anything between that and the T-6?
Oh, I flew the T-6 in advance.
Right.
But before we got there, we were in basic.
Yep.
And that was the Vaulty Vibrator, the BT-13. That we flew then, and then in advance, the AT-6.
So you flew the BT-13. Now, I've heard various stories on how it's got its nickname, the Vibrator. Do you have a theory as to why they call it that?
It would vibrate.
Well, was it the canopy or was it the engine? What was it that made it vibrate? Or
it
all
whole,
of it?
The whole airplane would vibrate.
But it got you trained up, right?
I'm sorry.
It got you trained, though. It helped you learn how to fly.
Oh, yes, definitely, definitely, yeah. If you knew the limitations of the aircraft and yourself, you've got it made.
Good. At Tuskegee, then you flew the T-6?
Yes, in advance we flew that.
Yeah,
yes.
And you were then qualified in the P-47, correct?
Well, first fighter I flew was the P-40.
Oh, so you did get to fly your dream airplane.
Right.
Good.
Yes.
And then the P-47.
That was my dream at that time.
Okay. Dreams change, don't they?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
So, but when you graduated, actually the war was coming to an end before you were deployed overseas, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. But you stayed on in the Air Force, or Army Air Corps after the war.
Right.
And I guess one of your, career highlights was the 1949...
Top Gun weapons
Top Gun,
meet.
Yes.
Yes.
And that was in the P-47.
Yes, it was.
And we're talking with Lieutenant Colonel James Harvey, one of the original Tuskegee Airmen. And tell us about that competition. That was a pretty unique competition, the first time it was held, and you guys really put on a show.
Yes, we did. So how much time do we have?
As much time as you need.
Okay, let's see. How do I want to start this thing? The weapons meet was held in May of
1949.
49. I'm okay. May of 49. And I'm going weak here. Okay. You can hear me okay?
Yep.
Okay. And our competitors were flying P-51s and F-82s. Now, the F-82 looks like two P-51s welded together, one wing and one horizontal stabilizer, two fuselages. And we were flying the obsolete P-47. It was obsolete, but it was still a good aircraft. Now, the competition was aerial gunnery at 12,000 feet and aerial gunnery at 20,000 feet, dive bombing, skip bombing, rocket firing, and panel strafing. And the first day of the meet, we had aerial gunnery at 12,000 feet. And let me back up here. They're going to award two trophies, one for high individual and one for high group. And so at the end of the day on the 12,000-foot missions, Captain Temple of our team was leading as high individual. Okay, the next day we have dive bombing. Dive bombing, you come over your target about 12,000 feet, roll over, drop straight down, line up on a target, release your bombs and pull out by 2,000 feet, hopefully. If you don't, you can get into trouble. Anyway, no one did very well that day, but still, Captain Temple of our team was leading as high individual. Next day, we have skip bombing. Now, skip bombing, you come in very low to the ground, your propeller clearing the ground by about a foot. You're so low that when you release your bombs, they don't have a chance to nose over, so they hit flat and skip through the target. And Captain Temple had 6 for 6. Stewart had 6 for 6. And I had 6 for 6. So at the end of the day, Captain Temple is still leading as high individual. The next day we have rocket firing. Now, same configuration, two rockets per aircraft, three missions, three pilots, so that's 6 rockets. Captain Temple had 6 for 6, Stewart had 5 for 6, and I had 5 for 6. So at the end of the day, Captain Temple is still leading as high individual. And, okay, the next we have, and final mission is panel strafing. Panel strafing, they have a target erected on the ground, about a 60-degree angle, and we come in at about a 40-degree angle, so 90 degrees to the target. Well, let me back up a bit before I mention that. We are in a position to take everything. They don't like that. So, oh boy, what was I going to say? Don't get old.
So you're all leading the competition.
Yes.
You've completed all of the runs.
No, this is the last.
Yeah, the last one.
Last event,
okay.
Right? And the panel strafing. Anyway, we had our panel strafing.
He said bullets.
Bullets?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, on panel strafing, you use bullets. That's mm-hmm. right. And sorry about that, folks. Well, anyway, on this last mission of panel strafing, like I said before, Captain Temple had been leading through all of this, but on the last panel strafing, he was aced out of first place by a man in the P-51 outfit. But so he didn't win that. But that's okay. We won the meet.
Right.
However, we were never recognized as the winner. The Air Force Association puts out a magazine every month. Once a year, they put out an almanac. One of the items in the almanac are the winners of the 1949 weapons meet through present day. Today, it's called Red Flag. Right. It's altogether different, right? However, we were listed as unknown, unknown, unknown. Then in 1995, I think it was April 95, I had a call from my group commander, Colonel William A. Campbell of the 332nd. And
you got a call from Campbell.
Yeah, talking to Colonel Campbell. Oh, boy. And Colonel Campbell asked me if I had any information on the 49 weapons meet. Yeah. I said, no, I didn't. Maybe Stuart does. So he called Stuart. Stuart said he didn't have anything. He could probably find it at Nellis. It was Las Vegas Air Force Base. Now it's called Nellis Air Force Base. So he went to Nellis. He found what he was looking for and presented it to the newly formed United States Air Force. And as of September of 49, well, anyway, as of September 65, it shows the 332nd as the winner of the 1949 weapons meet.
Excellent.
46 years. They knew who won, but they just didn't want to recognize us as being the winners.
Well, I'm glad they finally came to their senses and recognized you.
Now, I was wondering if you had anything at Nellis stating that the 332nd Fighter Group or Tuskegee Airmen had won the meet. There wasn't anything. As of January the 12th of 2022, we finally have something at Nellis Air Force Base that says the 332nd or the Tuskegee Airmen won the first ever Top Gun weapons meet.
Excellent.
Quite a few years, but it's there finally.
Very good.
Right. 73 years.
A great end to the story, sir, and I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to share that with us this morning. We're talking with Lieutenant Colonel James Harvey, one of the original Tuskegee Airmen, and one of the team members of the first Top Gun competition at Nellis in 1949. I'm Steve Buss. This is From the Stand, and you're listening to EIA Radio.